Certain that some of you, maybe all of you, to some degree are tired, you're a little bit overloaded, maybe even a little bored. Really. And your routine, your busyness, I call it pinball lifestyle, you know, you go one thing to the next. Relationships, entertainment, they've distracted you in the same way the Colossians were distracted. How were they distracted? Well, they battled with keeping rules instead of a relationship. They were being kind of tempted by false teachers to turn their focus from singularity to Christ to keeping a bunch of traditions. Maybe you battle with that. Maybe they struggled with thinking they needed something more instead of relying on what God has already given them and reveling in their relationship with what they already had in Christ. Some of them thought that services and ceremonies were enough to keep them intimate. You know, maybe you do. Well, I haven't been walking with God all week, but I'll go to church, you know, that kind of mentality. They battled with that. They were also in danger of redefining their Christianity. Instead of Christ deserving all their time, all their money, all their emotions, all their heart, all their service, all their strength, all their priorities, Christ had become less than their all. They were being tempted and taught wrongly. And if you struggle with any of that, then this passage will give you an opportunity to reverse the drift and to get back on track with Christ. Every true Christian in this auditorium sitting next to you today or in your own heart desperately wants Christ alone to be their central focus. He's given us that new heart. Whether that's at church or at work or at school or at home, every true Christian here wants Christ to be their all. And you know, if that is your heart, then I want you to take a moment to pray with me. And let's ask the Lord to rekindle the fire that once burned bright for Him. And if you would you please stand with me just for a moment? And let me read the Scripture here. I know you're kind of organized there, but let's stand in honor of the Word of God. And allow me to read this passage, and then let's pray together. It says, Colossians 2, 6, 7, and 8, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude, see to it that no one takes you captive through the philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." Let's pray. Father, we have come before You this morning, and we ask that You again would be our first love. Father, that if we have drifted away in any way, that You would draw us by Your Spirit back to Yourself. That You would woo us back by Your great love for us. That we would break under the routineness and the coldness that is felt in some of our hearts. And that we would again give You our all for Your glory. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Paul's letter in Colossians 1, if you haven't been with us, we're just working our way through this book. He's thanked God for the gospel. He's prayed for their maturity. He's clarified the person and the work of Jesus Christ. He's described our ministry, and that's chapter 1. Now he's also described his agony over being absent from them to help them with their current trouble. And now in verses 6 through 8 of Colossians chapter 2, he makes a transition. He concludes his burden about being absent, and he introduces, really, in these verses, the rest of chapter 2. This is kind of explaining what's going to happen. And he calls them to focus on Christ above everything. That's the issue. Focus on Christ. The false teachers in Colossae area taught that you and I can experience a closer walk with God through legalism, through asceticism, kind of being a monk, or mysticism. And Paul tells us now, starting in verse 6, that the closer relationship with Christ begins with three things. Number one in your outline, staying committed to Christ as your first love. Staying committed to Christ as your first love. Now, as you read verse 6 with me, it's there in your outline. Put your name right after the word therefore. Okay? And you can go ahead and say your name out loud. I'll say my name out loud. Put it right after therefore, and let's read it with me out loud. Ready? "As you therefore, Chris, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." Now Paul's saying to the Colossians, he's saying to you, and he's saying to me this morning, that we need to keep our commitment to Christ hot by that verse. Now, how do we do that? Verse 6 gives us the answer. Here it is. Number one, first, live the way you did at the beginning. Live the way you did at the beginning. Now, the focus of verse 6 are the words this, have received. That's the key verb there, and it's an undefined reference to the time you came to Christ. So he's saying, it's when you came to Christ. And God is telling us, remember back to when you were genuinely saved. Remember what God did and continue to live that way. You know, if you're a genuine Christian, you came to Christ by faith, then continue to live by faith. When you came to Christ, you were sensitive and very broken over your sin. Well, now continue to live that way, sensitive and broken over sin. You know, you came trusting Christ and believing His promises. Continue with that kind of childlike reliance. You came to God through Christ alone. He did it all. And so now you should continue to trust in Christ alone, nothing else. He'll do it all. Staying focused on Christ demands that we remember how we came to Christ and continue in that same relationship. That's what the Lord's Supper, you know, when we have communion, that's what that's all about. It's a command, so we have to obey. But the singular focus of the Lord's Supper is one word, remember. Remember what Christ did for you. Recall all that He means to you and what He did for you. Memories are absolutely crucial to a healthy Christian experience and life, right? They are. When I was down in L.A. last week, I drove by Roscoe and Woodman. And right there at Roscoe and Woodman, there's a series of stores. It's right down the street from the old church I used to minister at. And there's a 31 ice cream store right there. And it's still there. It was there 18 years ago as well. On my toughest day as a youth pastor, and I won't go into it, it was horrible. My secretary, a wonderful, lovely young woman named Jean Sharp, she saw how incredibly despondent I was. I had been weeping most of the morning. And she decided that she would buy me an ice cream. And as we sat after buying our ice cream under this large oak tree that is still there, in fact, it's raising up the sidewalk about 3 feet, we kind of sat on it like a bench next to 31, I looked at Jean for the first time with new eyes. And that was the beginning of growing in love with who would become Jean Mueller. And all I was last week, driving by on Roscoe, passing by Woodman, looking over to the right, and there it was, 31, and in an instant, all those memories came flooding back. And I started telling John Scott, he's a friend of mine, and Dr. J, and I would say, oh, that's the store, and all these memories come flooding back, and I began to kind of tear up and remember and thank God that God had given me Jean for my wife. Just remembering stirred up a recommitment. That's how powerful memories are. And they are so powerful in verse 6. If you look there, Paul is calling the Colossians and he's calling you this morning to again remember what Jesus Christ has done for you. Paul's calling us to return to our first love. Now hold your place in Colossians 2 and turn over, if you would, to Revelation 2. Okay? Last book in the Bible, very easy to find, Revelation chapter 2. Go ahead and turn there now. Come on, stay with me. And here is an effective test to determine your spiritual condition. Now, you know the church of Ephesus. They were strong in doctrine. They were dedicated servants. They were discerning over error. They were faithful in everything. I mean, he really praises them. In fact, just like so many of you. But look at what was going wrong, what John says in verse 4 of Revelation 2. He says, I have this against you, that you have left your what? First love. Now, they lost Christ as the center. They drifted away from Christ being their first priority in every priority. They went through the motions of Christianity without Christ being at the core. They sang songs with detached hearts. They ministered with no thought of Christ. They taught others without a burden to see the lost come to Christ and the saints be built up in Christ. Are you ready for this? They majored in religion and they minored in relationship. They majored in religion and they minored in relationship. But don't despair. John tells them how to get Christ back into focus. Look at verse 5, the first part. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first. He says three words: remember, repent, and return. Remember, repent, and return. Remember where you were with Christ. Repent of your drift away from Christ, and return to doing what you did when your relationship was hot with Christ. We just sang, like a father, he'll draw us near, arms open wide. That's exactly the attitude of the Lord, for you to return to that intimacy. Now go back, if you would, to Colossians 2. Paul is saying in verse 6, the first thing he's saying, to do what you did at the beginning. Let your memories of who you were and what Christ did for you and His great love for you stir your love up for Christ and cause you to stick close to Him again. Verse 6 says it, as you therefore, Chris, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Secondly, in your outline, what else does this mean? How do we stir up this first love? Commit to follow only the Bible correctly interpreted. Commit to follow only the Bible correctly interpreted. Now let me expand and look at verse 6 again. The verb there, received, in Colossians 6 is the common, 2:6, is the common word for receiving proper instruction. That's what the word means. And Paul's reminding the Colossians of not only that time they came to know Christ, but of the great teaching they received from Epaphras, their founding pastor, as he taught them about how to come to Christ and live for Christ. This is the true apostolic doctrine, the stuff found in a normal interpretation of the Bible, and the Colossians were not to toy with anything else, like so many people do today. Man, it is so popular. I find people, even in our own church, they're toying with numerology. Numerology is where Greek letters are assigned certain numbers and you get secret meanings, the Bible code. Unbelievable how people get distracted. Or prophecy sections that are taught showing how current events dogmatically fulfill certain predictions. Or passages torn right out of the context in order to prove a faulty conclusion. All these and more are sadly and seductively drawing Christians away from a primary focus on Christ. Read with me out loud Psalm 119, 105. Let's say it together. You know it. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Shine a different light on your path, and you're going to get lost. You're going to get lost. In fact, stick with the Bible taught seeking only the one right interpretation, the author's intended meaning. And Paul says, don't move away from what you were taught. Don't get distracted by the new or the strange. Now, whenever you hear someone teach the Bible and your response is, wow, I never saw that in my Bible before, more often it means that it's not there. Okay? If it's not an obvious extraction from the text. And Paul says there's no need to change your belief. Stick with what you heard from Epaphras. If you don't, your life is going to be negatively affected because what you believe always shows in how you behave. So commit to the Bible, interpret it correctly, as verse 6 says, look at it, as you therefore have received this proper instruction from Epaphras, and Christ Jesus the Lord came as a result of that, so walk in Him. Thirdly, keep living what you believe. You want to be on fire for Christ? You want to be committed to Him? Keep Him central and focused? Live what you believe. Look at how verse 6 starts. Look at the first three words. As you therefore. Now this indicates the manner in which Christ lives and their Christian lives were to proceed as Christ lives through them. They were to be living as they had been taught by Epaphras. Their conduct was to be in harmony with the content. Their behavior was to match their beliefs. Jump ahead, if you would, to verse 7 in Colossians 2, and notice in the middle of the verse there the phrase, just as you were instructed. Paul commands the Colossians, and he commands us today, to keep on living for Christ, he calls it a walk in verse 6, in harmony with the teaching you have received, just as you were instructed. In order to stay focused on Christ, we must be committed to living the Word of God we are taught. Living it! Read with me James 1:22. Let's read it out loud. Prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Now think of this verse negatively and positively. Negatively. How often do you hear the Word of God taught in this situation or in small group or wherever, and you see an area of your life exposed and you make no spirit-empowered effort to apply it? He says, don't be deluded. Don't be deluded. Positively. It's when we see the Spirit of God allow us to live the Word of God and make those changes in our lives, that's when we experience Christ alive and at work, which keeps our focus right on Him. You get it? That's to encourage us. So Paul says, walk the talk to stay close to Christ. Walk it. Live it. Apply it. No matter what you do, apply it. Now let me expand on this. And I've used this before, but I wanted to illustrate some of the danger. So many believers live their Christian lives like a Swanson TV dinner. You know what that is, right? It's all compartmentalized, right? And so, if things are rotten at home, but everything, the dessert little compartment is okay at church, and, the peas of school or your marriage is okay, but it's rotten over here, we think in our minds it doesn't affect all the other parts, right? So I can be really godly at church and be a real stinko at home, and God is pleased because I came to church and I offered my worship to Him. And many people offer themselves and view their lives like a Swanson TV dinner. Let me affirm to you this morning, God does not view your life that way. He does not. He views your life like a chicken pot pie. Okay? That's what you are. If the peas of home are really stinky and rotten, they're going to affect the chicken at church and the home life and the neighborhood and every other aspect in your thought life, because it's one offering your life to God. Not compartmentalized. It's one offering. And therefore, when Paul says to walk the talk, he's talking about every aspect of your life. Walk the talk. Stay close to Christ. That's the only way you can keep Him in focus. Or as Paul says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Number four, take active steps toward Christ daily. Active steps. Verse 6 calls our Christian life a walk. And Paul commands Christians to be on a journey, to be heading in a direction, to order our lives purposely to take steps toward Christ, with Christ, intentionally to do what we need to do and to be closer to Christ. It's a walk. It's a direction. In order to keep Christ in focus, we cannot be passive. We must be purposeful. Like a pan is never hot unless we get it on the burner. No Christian is ever hot unless they're dependent on Christ. Every day, every moment. See, a walk is never accomplished in a chair. Right? Come on, let's be basic here. A walk never happens when you're standing still. A walk doesn't happen to you, it happens by you. A walk is never accomplished by mere attendance. A walk only occurs through your active participation. Now, when you're driving in a car, you can throw it out of gear and you can cruise, can't you? But what's amazing is when you're walking, if you stop putting one foot in front of the other, guess what? You stop! Isn't that deep Bible teaching? You know what I mean? You're not going to go anywhere. And you'd be surprised at the number of Christians who just don't get it. I mean, many think they're walking. Why? Because everyone around them is walking. You can come to a church like this and everybody's going. Everybody's serving the Lord. Man, this is going everywhere. And you think, man, I'm really on the move. And you're not going anywhere. Because it takes active steps toward Christ. That means to be in the Word of God on your own, on a walk, to confess your sin, to depend upon the Lord by being filled with the Spirit, to discuss truth with other believers, to be involved in the community of the church and the family of God, to hold each other accountable, to live the truth by the Spirit, to seek to display godly qualities at work, one per day. No true Christian walk is inactive, idle, or indifferent. A true Christian walk is intentional, it's impassioned, and intense. Only those who are intentional with Christ enjoy an alive relationship with Christ. Or as verse 6 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Number 5, rely on Christ alone for everything and obey Christ alone in everything. Rely upon Him alone for everything and obey Him alone in everything. Notice verse 6 again. Look at it real carefully. Christ Jesus the, what? Lord. So walk where? In Him. Now He reminds us our walk is in Him. All true Christians are sharers of Christ's life, and we are in Him and He is in us. Now read with me out loud John 14:23 and 15:5. Let's read them together. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Only Christ can live the Christian life. So as we walk in this life, we do so in him, in total reliance upon Christ. And this is called faith. We walk, 2 Corinthians 5:7, by faith, not by sight. We step out. We walk, but it's total dependence. The best way to illustrate it, again, is the two-year-old. The two-year-old. Like one, in your heart, by faith, lift your hand to your Heavenly Father and walk relying upon Him for support and guidance everywhere you go. And when you trip, you will not fall. And when you're being tempted, you'll find a way of escape as you're holding Him. He will guide you when you get distracted. But if you let go of His hand, try and live in your own strength, walk in your own way, then you will fall. You will fall into temptation, give in, and you will get distracted. You say, why should we walk in Him? Well, verse 6 gives us a reason. Because Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's the Lord. He's the Master, the Creator, our life. Christ makes all the rules. He's all wise. He's loving. Therefore, His ways are always best. He is not a sub-angel, like they were saying in Colossae. He is not a created being. He is our designer. He wrote the blueprint for life and in charge of every detail. He is Lord. And that's why 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, He died for all, that they who live should no longer live for who? Themselves, but for who? For Him who died and rose again. Again, reminding us we live for Him, and that those who consistently disobey the Lord are not going to experience intimacy with the Lord. So are you committed, number one, to Christ as your first love? That's how you keep Him in focus. It will be as you live what you did at the beginning. Commit to follow the Bible correctly interpreted. Keep living what you believe. Take active steps toward Christ daily. And rely on Christ alone for everything and obey Christ alone in everything. Or as Paul says it far more simply than I just did in verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, what? Walk in Him. Walk in Him. Now you can also remain on target for Christ, point number 2 in your outline, by staying centralized on what Christ has done and is doing for you. Stay centralized. Now in Colossians 2:7, this is the next verse, He gives us a second step to stay focused. And that is to remember what Christ has done and He is currently doing in and through you. Look at verse 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Now like a seed, everybody has been, who is a Christian, firmly planted by God, will be built up into a mighty tree, established in the soil of the truth of the Word of God, and you will give thanks and praise to your Creator for all He's done. And Paul uses four participles in this singular verse that help us to understand what it means to be centralized on Christ. And I've broken them down for you there in the outline. My question to you this morning, have you lately looked back on what God has done and is doing in your life? We get so busy, don't we? We forget to recognize what He's doing. So let's remember by looking at verse 7. One, God starts you. He starts you. Verse 7 says, having been firmly rooted. And it points to our initial conversion and again, continuing relationship. It's like the roots of a tree or the foundation of a building. Basically, God is the one who starts us. True salvation in Christ, if you're here this morning, is not dependent on whether you want to be saved. It's not. It's not dependent on whether you really are interested in maintaining your relationship with Christ. True faith is based upon God giving you a new birth. And God planted the Colossians firmly in His Son, and those roots cannot fail if you're truly saved. And since He planted us to produce a particular kind of fruit, to not grow or walk, as he says, his way is foolish. Read with me Ephesians 2:10. Follow with me now. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now remember, God is the one who saved you and predesigned your life to accomplish some special works. And as you live every single day seeking to accomplish what God has prepared for you, you will be centralized on Christ. Our whole lives, every day is, what is that work that you have set aside for me this day, Lord? You will be focused on Christ. As a matter of fact, two, God will stretch you. He stretches you. Verse 7 adds this phrase, now being built up in Him. Now he uses an unusual participle here. It's present passive. And basically means this built up. He's telling us we are being built up as we walk in Him. We are being built up by God as we walk in Him. It's only as the Colossians and us walk with Christ that we grow. Let me say it again. As you and I live in our strength, we tear ourselves down. As you and I live in God's strength, we're built up. That's what he's saying. We have to live in His strength, in dependence upon Him. And what is the tool that God uses to build us up? Acts 20:32. Read it with me. I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. By learning and obeying the word of God, we will grow and we will see, third, God strengthen you. Strengthen you. Verse 7 adds this, and established in your faith just as you were instructed. Again, he uses a present passive participle, showing us that this is something that God does, are you ready, as we step out. God does it as we step out in active, obedient dependence. As we walk in Christ, having been saved by God, built up in the Word of God, we are going to grow so mature that no false doctrine is going to push us around. You know, there are a lot of people around you today in this room who are not pushed around by false doctrine. Isn't that a great place to be? That's a great place to be. The Colossians can rejoice as they stay faithful to the instruction they've received. They will grow very strong in Christ. Now, I've got to clarify something, really kind of picky issue here. Look at verse 7. That's in the Greek. It does not say, if you have a New American Standard Bible, for once, this is the first time it's happened, the NASB is wrong. Yeah, I know, it hurt me too, okay? The NIV and the New King James are correct. Bummer. Okay? It is not established in your faith. In the Greek, it's an article. It is established in the faith. The faith. Referring to the doctrine of the Christian faith you were taught. And again, the faith refers to the faith, the doctrine of the Christian faith you were taught. Listen, Christian, this morning if you're here, if you're confused, or you're intimidated, or you're ignorant about issues like tongues, like healing, discipline, roles, demons, authority, election, spanking, marriage, parenting, then you're not established in the faith. But you can be. You can be. As we stay intentionally loyal to what we have been taught from the Word of God, we too will become, this verse says, established. Like an established restaurant, you know, In-N-Out Burger, you know. You love it, you trust it. Like an established hotel, Motel 6, leave the light on for you, whatever. It's strong, it's dependable. Christians who remain faithful to the truth over time will become established. That means they will be dependable, they will be strong, they'll be trusted. Finally, as that becomes a reality, you'll find four in your outline, God satisfy you. He will satisfy you. At the end of verse 7, he tells us we will be overflowing with gratitude. Now, the response to all that God has done and all that God is currently doing is thanksgiving. And when you live each day understanding what you have, who you are, what God did and is still doing in your life, you will literally abound, you will surpass, you will excel in giving thanks. Amen? You will. Your heart will overflow with gratitude. Every day, you know what this attitude is? You just feel like a debtor. You don't feel like anybody owes you anything. You feel and know for a fact that you have been given far more than you ever, ever deserve. And that's the heart of a true believer. They know that. When you continue to stay centralized on what God has done and what God is doing, your heart will not drift. One of the biggest reasons and struggles of Christians is when All they have is what God did in the past. Now, it's important for us to remember, very important for us to remember what God has done in the past. But understand that you are not to live your whole Christian life in the past. Amen? It is what God is doing right now. So many of us, you know, everything's taken care of. We don't really have to trust the Lord. The bills are paid. The kids are being raised. There's nothing they're relying on the Lord for. And if you want to stay hot for Christ, put yourself in a place where God must act. Seek to have your walk with Christ be present tense, based on all that He's done, believing that He will do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or think. What are you trusting God for that you know that God must do it because you can't? You've got to have some issues like that in your life if you want to stay focused on Christ. So, focus on Christ is committed to Christ as first love, centralized on what God has done and is doing. Thirdly, it also remain focused on Christ by staying cautious against any drift or detour from Christ. Be cautious of any drift or detour from Christ. Now, He gives us a warning, and the warning is found in verse 8. Look there. It says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the Word, rather than according to who? Christ." Now, here's the choice of every one of us in the room. Everyone. You either rely on human thinking with every decision, every kind of action, or you rely solely and dependently on Christ. That's the choice. You make that choice every day. The only way that any of us can stay focused on Christ is to never, never listen to, accept, or tolerate any teaching that does not view Christ and His Word and His plan preeminent above all. Anything that doesn't have Christ as Lord, anything that diminishes Christ, anything that takes the focus off of Him, any teaching that causes the bride to treat the groom indifferently. So how are we supposed to stay on target? Look at your outline there. First, be cautious continually. Continually. The verse, three words there, verse 8, see to it. That is in the present tense. It means continually be on guard. Keep watching out. Keep looking out. For what? Secondly, stay with me, be cautious impartially. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive. That no one means not anyone, no matter who it is. Anyone teaching human philosophy, human tradition, worldly principles, as if they were truth, is to be rejected. And with apostolic authority, Paul is calling the Colossians and us to be impartial like God is impartial, and to not allow anyone to dupe us into error, even if it's half-truths. Don't buy in. What else can error do to us? Thirdly, be cautious of capture. Be cautious of capture. Verse 8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive. This is really a graphic term. It is in the future tense. It hasn't happened yet, but Paul's making sure, the Colossians and us, make sure and know that error can kidnap us. It can. The word captive comes from two words, to carry away and plunder, and it's very descriptive. He's telling us to continually keep watching out for anyone at all who might plunder your treasury of truth, who might kidnap your heart of trust in Christ alone, and who might rape you with errant teaching. That's what he's saying. It's a very graphic term. And there is a real danger today that errant teaching can lead you off like a prisoner of war. And to Paul, it's unthinkable that any of us, and all of us, who were slaves of sin, who have been bought and freed with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ, could again submit to slavery. And yet I hear it all the time. Lord willing, and not so much from our own body, but I hear it. People say, I'll not be limited only to the Bible. They say, well, science and great thinkers also add to truth. Oh, God helps those who help themselves. Dr. Psychologist says we should do this. You guys are just too narrow. Oh, there are many ways to God. He's so loving. There are many different kinds of churches. Your way isn't the only way. In other words, fourth in your outline, be cautious of the source. Be cautious of the source. Now, what is the source? The fallen ideas. What are they? What is the source? It's fallen ideas or Christ. That's it. You only have two choices. Fallen ideas or Christ. Paul says, where you get your thinking, your life direction, and your ideas is crucial. Where you get it from is crucial. And if you can't substantiate that the source of your idea is from Christ, then you are to reject that idea as a principle to believe and to live by. Do you get that? What is wrong with the source? Paul says, verse 8, through philosophy. What's philosophy? That's human wisdom about God and the world. Any idea about the origin of the world, the meaning of life, God's involvement with mankind is a philosophy. And if you're thinking about all those things, does not come from Scripture. Paul calls it, right here in verse 8, empty deception. You know what that is? It literally is the word for a baited hook. It looks really, really good. It promises a really nice treat, and it leads to destruction, doesn't it? Empty deception. What's an empty philosophy? God used evolution to create the world. God made men and women the same. All the roles of men and women, you know, are back then, they're just cultural. Marriage is outdated. Oh, the rod isn't for today. Continually watch out for human words about God and the world. Stick with Christ's word found in the Bible. Where do people get these philosophies? Look at verse 8 again. According to the tradition of men. People make them up. The source of philosophy is, are you ready? This is so foolish. Fallen, depraved men and women who make up their own rules instead of submitting to God's rules. That's where it comes from. And Jesus constantly rebuked others who followed man-made traditions that were contrary to the teaching of the Bible. Read with me out loud Matthew 15, verse 3. Let's read it. Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? You invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Believing a man-made philosophy is one of the most foolish things anybody can do. Why? Because people are fallen, they are blind, they are sinful, they are dead, they are foolish, and they are lost. Read with me Romans 1:21. Let's read it together. Even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they came futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to become wise, they became fools. Now, are you going to follow a blind man who is lost in a fallen world? Are you going to look to him for answers? No? Then why would you listen to that radio psychologist giving you answers outside Scripture? Why do you buy into that talk show which denies that Christ alone is the only way to heaven? Why do you listen to those guys who misinterpret the Bible, so sensational prophecies and Y2K doom and gloom? Why do you listen to that? If you want to stay focused on Christ, you must be cautious as to what you listen to. Especially as it is that verse 8 says, look, according to the elementary principles of the world. Now, Paul, with that phrase, is getting kind of insulting. Okay, I felt insulted. The word elementary there refers to the ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. And you know what he's saying? If anyone who turns from God's word to a philosophy of this world is childish. In fact, to turn to the teaching of the world over the teaching of the word is not deep, it's not advanced, like the heretics were saying in Colossae. To turn to worldly ideas over the word of God is actually infantile, immature, and childish. All of our truth, thinking, ideas, lifestyle, choices are to be what verse 8 ends with. Look what it ends with. According to who? Christ. Why is that? What makes Jesus so special? Would you look at verse 9? Look at this, the context here. This ought to send chills up down your spine. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Man! Zing 'em, Paul! What does that mean? Simply, are you going to follow the teaching of fallen, blind, sinful, childish, foolish people, or are you going to follow the teaching of God who became a man to tell us and show us what the truth is? And you ask, Chris, is that really what verse 9 says? To know for certain, you got to come back next week. If you want to stay focused on Christ, then stay cautious of error. Don't adapt any kind of thinking unless it has its source in Christ, which is found only in His Word properly interpreted. Ask God to cleanse you of any false teaching. You want to remain focused on Christ this morning? I've been praying desperately that you would respond. Stay committed to Christ as your first love. Remain tender-hearted. Remain centralized on what Christ is doing, and remain cautious of any drift away or any detour from Jesus Christ. Let's pray, shall we? As we conclude, I'm going to ask you to recall three words. You'll know them. You don't have to fill them in. Just put your head down, your eyes closed, just for a moment. Remember repent and return. I want to guide your prayers. Please don't tune in everything. There's people moving right now. They're going to stop in a minute as the ushers get in place and musicians, etc. Just focus for a second. Don't look around, please. Give this time to the Lord. Number one, remember. Was there ever a time when you were more committed to Christ, more in love with Him, more zealous, more prayerful, more living by faith, trusting Him for great things, serving Him, giving Him with greater sacrifice? Some of you would say, no, it's right now. Others of you would say, yeah. Remember that time. Remember the blessings that came with being close to Christ. Remember the joy and the testing of your walk with Him and the liveliness and the freshness of every day and expectancy of what God would do. You know, if you can't remember any intimacy with Christ, you're not His child. And we would invite you this morning to turn to Jesus Christ alone. He alone can forgive you. He alone can make you right with God. He alone can bring you to heaven. And without Him, you are destined for a life of misery and separation and eternal separation in hell. Let Him draw you to Himself this morning. Give your life to Him. In the quietness of your own heart, make this a day where you say, yes, I surrender, Jesus Christ. I surrender all. Repent. As you compare that time in the past, confess the differences between then and now. Specifically, admit you've drifted. Confess you've been distracted. Tell the Lord you're sorry for losing your first love. Tell Him, pour out your heart honestly. If you've gotten distracted by any kind of teaching, traditions, or worldly principles, confess that. If fears of the future, or home, or family, or children, or work, or ministry keep you from intimacy with Christ, confess that. Anything. Tell the Lord you want to turn from anything that has kept you from or distracted from an on-fire relationship with Him. And number three, return. Are you ready to surrender all? Is it really well with your soul? Return to your first love. You can't abandon your spouse or your children or your work or your school or your church or your ministry, but you can return to Christ as the center of your life and everything and your number one priority overall. You can give Him more time. You can enjoy Him more. You can delight in His great love for you. Return to Jesus Christ this morning. I don't care if you're an elder or you're a brand new visitor. Tell Him you love Him. Thank Him for all that He is. All that He has done. Bask in His incredible love for you. And let His love move you towards Him. As Amy's about to sing and as we're about to give, pray with her. Take me back to the time I fell in love. That nothing come between my God and me. Father, work in our hearts this morning. In a mighty way. In Jesus' name.